Let me say, certainly it's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, you say, well, Russell, we're not in the sanctuary. Hey, wherever people worship the Lord, that's where you'll find His presence. And His house is not so much a building made with hands. The Bible teaches us that He inhibits the praises of His people. And I'm so thankful this morning for what the Lord has done for all of us. And I said us, not just me, but all of us. And this morning, the heart is just, I don't even know the way to explain it, very heavy this morning. I really feel like that God has a word for us. And certainly, it's our great desire to get out of the Lord's way and for God to speak. Just been on our heart all morning, and I was amazed when we come to Sunday school that we were talking about brokenness and about the tribulations of God's people, especially when we lose people that we love and the sorrow that so many face. And God knows that we as a church have suffered some great sorrow there, people that were in our presence and now they're in the presence of the Lord. And I'm a little happy. I'm a lot happy about that and a little sad about that. But I'm so glad that whenever death finds us there, it's a place that Jesus said He would go to prepare, that where He is, we could be also. And I'm glad that death doesn't have the final say. But whenever that angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, for He is risen, as He said." We have hope. The Bible reminds us in Thessalonians not to sorrow as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we also believe that those that died in Christ, they'll come with Him in the air. I want to say to you this morning that if you're suffering maybe the presence of somebody that you love and they've gone home to be with the Lord, thank God that there is a hope that goes beyond the grave. And this is what the Lord has laid on our heart. If you'll turn with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs in the 17th chapter, beginning with the 20th verse, and it says this: "He that hath a froward heart findeth no good. He that have a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. He that begotteth a fool doeth it into his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy." And this is the verse most of all that God has laid up on our heart. It was in a conversation with Brother Boo Boo the other day that this began to stir in us and has not left us since that conversation. Verse 22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth to the bones." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to You in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus. God, I don't understand so many things, and I'm so glad it's not left up to my understanding. God, You just want me to be faithful, and You just want me to be obedient to what You say do. God, there's so many of us and so many under the sound of my voice, God, that have suffered the brokenness of having someone leave this world and go into a life eternal. And God, they feel, Lord, the pain and the sorrow of what's missing. God, how I pray this morning, help us turn our eyes toward Jesus. God, that we might have a hope and a happiness and a joy. God, so many men and women, their hearts fail them for fear because of all that we see in this age. God, I almost feel like that, Father, just a little more, and God, how much more can we take as a church and as a people? There's so much evil on every hand. It seems like everywhere we turn, the news is negative, and everywhere we turn, God, it seems like we see strife and envy and jealousy and all these negative emotions, anger and hatred. But then, God, we know that thou art a God of love and mercy and grace. And God, where we're insufficient, Lord, we know your Spirit is sufficient. God, I pray, speak to us as only you can. God, I pray for that one that, Lord, is just hanging on by thread. God, this morning, renew their strength and their joy in the Lord. And God, it seems like so often I find myself trying to work my way back towards you. God, I am but a man, and Lord, I am a man, Lord, that is a sinful human being. God, I understand that my sin separates me from you, and how often I find myself in a time of repentance and prayer just trying to get back to where I was. God, I pray this morning for all those that are in the house of God and are like me, that have lost the joy of Christmas, what it means and what it should mean. Lord, that we in this hour, of all hours, where there's so much trouble on every hand, might be able to stand up with joy in our heart and look at each other and wish one another Merry Christmas, not because of our surroundings, but because of what hope lies within us. God, I thank you, you begat us unto a lively hope. Now, God, I pray, speak to us as only you can in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Let me say, as I stand here before you this morning, I come and I guess confessing to you that so often it's hard for me to find the joy that I once found in Christmas. There was a time whenever I was younger, and you know, when you're a kid, it's all about Christmas, isn't it? It's all about Santa Claus and all these different things and what you're going to get and the gifts and the things that you want and all of those things when you're a child. And then you get older and things begin to change a little bit, and Christmas has a little bit of different meaning. And then you get older and your kids get married and they move out of the house, and some of you are experiencing that, or where me and Keena are right now, and your kids are gone and you're happy, but Christmas is just a little different. The house and the home is a little more empty. And I don't mean that saying and being a sad sack. I'm just being honest with you. Things change. And I find myself so often trying to find the joy of this season. A season that has been so commercialized. A season that man has got his hands on. And really, when we look at somebody and we wish them Merry Christmas, that word Merry means to have abundant joy. It's to have a joyful attitude. It is to have a rejoicing spirit. It's not just, you know, and so often we walk out of the store or walk out of the restaurant and we say Merry Christmas, but do we really understand what that means? And really, you know, so much of Christ and the Christian experience has been taken out of Christmas. And I would say to you this morning, the reason that so many of us lose the joy that we have in the Christmas season is because the center of our joy has to be Christ. And if you take Christ out of Christmas, then it's not the occasion that it should be. And here the Bible teaches us, and the writer of Psalms says, he that has a froward heart findeth no good. And I begin to study and pray, and what does that mean, a froward heart? It means a heart that is given to contention. It is a heart that is given to strife. It means if we're not careful, all we see is the bad in everything. All we see is the negative in everything. And I believe this with all of my heart. You can look for the negative and you will certainly find it. You can look for the bad and you will certainly find it. You can look to be miserable and you will certainly be miserable. And God is not going to make you be happy. But God can give you joy and make you happy in your heart and in your soul. And I'm telling you, there's no amount of possession possessions that can give you the joy that only the Lord can give. And what I'm saying is, church, it's time to unshackle ourselves from all these other things and get back to what Christmas is really about. It's to celebrate a Savior and His birth and what He's done for us. May I wish you a Merry Christmas this morning. And it means something. A froward heart is always looking for the bad. A froward heart is always looking for the negative. Do I have anybody that every now and again has a froward heart? Oh, don't raise your hand. That's all right. I know you exist. I know I'm not the only one. All you can see is a negative in something. I want you to know this. So God always has a plan, and God has a power to fulfill His plan. And it's time to get our eyes off of the negative and our eyes off of all the sickness and all the trouble and tribulation, and put our eyes on the One who can give us joy in this Christmas season. Can you truly say Merry Christmas? Do you have a heart of merriment? Are you truly happy in the Lord? Now, I want every eye to make contact with my eye right now, and I want you to be honest with yourself. Are you truly happy in the Lord? Do you truly have the joy of the Lord as your strength? Or are you like your preacher is? There are times that joy is but a fleeting moment and a fleeting second. I go in and out of joy. I have joy one day, and the next day I feel knocked down. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Joy, listen, is more than my circumstances. If I'm dependent on my circumstances to give me joy, I'll never find true joy and happiness in the Lord, because circumstances change. It says right here, he that begatteth a fool do it to his own sorrow. And he goes on to talk about a son. There's no greater joy. Now, let me ask you this. Do I have any parents in the house that would say, my children are a great source of joy? Right now, if you're raising a 13 or 14-year-old, joy will come back in time. Is there a greater source of joy than our children? I got my baby girl, and now I got my son with me here this morning. I'm going to tell you, they are one of the greatest sources of joy in my life. My son and my daughter-in-law are my other daughter. They are a great source of joy in my life. Look at your children, and they are a great source of joy in your life. But if they're the only source of joy, I'm going to assure you they will disappoint you, and your joy won't be what it ought to be. And it's not fair for me to put on her and him to live a life that is nothing more than to give me joy. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I love my wife, I guess, as much as any man has ever loved a woman. But it's not her responsibility to make me happy every day. Do you know how many marriages are failing today because one says to the other, you're not making me happy? It's not her job to make you happy. It's not his job to make you happy. It's your job to serve God together and let God give you joy and happiness. When I throw that on her, when I throw that on somebody else to fulfill my joy, it is unfair, and they can never live up to it. But when my focus is Jesus, is anybody in the house of God can say, Jesus ain't never let me down. Jesus ain't never told me a lie. Jesus ain't never led me in the wrong direction. Jesus ain't ever broke my heart. He is the source of all joy. A man's heart does good like a medicine. How many of you know? Now let's go back for just a moment. Some of you are older. We got to go way back. Remember the day the Lord saved you. Do you have an experience of grace? And can you go back and remember what it was like when the Lord saved you? You remember that? If you don't, I'm going to tell you, you ought to check up. You remember what it was like when the Lord saved you? Do you remember how bad you felt and how broken your heart was. And do you remember when you came to him in sincere and honest prayer and you cried out to him? And do you remember what it felt like when that awful feeling of conviction was gone, replaced by the joy and the happiness that you can only find in Christ Jesus? I love these little people that get saved. And they get saved and they tell their testimony for the first time. And out of the mouths of babes, you can hear, I'm talking about rivers of wisdom. Oh, I've had some. There was a young man got saved by the grace of God. Just got up and said, I've been saved by the almighty grace of God. How could a young man think like that? I'm telling you, that was motivated by his heart. How many young people have come up from the altar with tears in their eyes and said, preacher, I feel good in my heart. I'm telling you, God is a source of all of our joy, and happiness can only be found in him. The problem is, we get out into a negative world, we get away from God, and we lose the joy of his salvation. Boy, I got to be careful how I say this. I don't like fake people. Is that okay to say it like that? I don't like people who fake it. They're always happy in front of everybody else, but internally, they are just as broken and wounded as everybody else. They put on a facade and a beautiful face and they say, oh, I have the joy of the Lord. And then Monday morning comes and you get that telephone call and it's like everything has fallen out from under them. It's like all of a sudden joy is gone. And it's, but if I'm going to tell you something, when you place your joy, even in your emotion that you have with God, it can let you down. We got to get back to the pure source, and that is Jesus. I made a comment about this morning in Sunday school. Here, Jesus was 12 years old. Mary and Joseph have come there to Jerusalem for a feast. It don't really tell us what feast it is, but after the feast was over, you know, think about the feast they had in those days. I mean, they had a 7-8 day, you know, feast, a big party. They ate and they were merry and they were happy and they enjoyed each other's fellowship. It sounded a lot like Christmas, doesn't it? And you know what? The Bible said they left and they started on their journey and they went a day's journey. And I can hear as they're going down the road, I can hear Mary look at Joseph and say, honey, something's missing. I'm going to tell you something. The greatest lie you'll ever tell yourself is that there's not something missing when something is missing. Honey, they just say, something missing. I can't put my finger on it. Do you know how many churches have died a slow death because they pat each other on the back when there's no spirit in the church and say, oh, wasn't that a good service? Boy, I like them old-fashioned ladies that pat you on the back and say, well, son, you tried, didn't you? What she was saying is you just didn't get where you really needed to get to hear from God. You ain't really where you ought to be. They didn't tickle your ears and say, oh, that was wonderful and that was great. I'm going to tell you something. The worst thing you can do in your life and your walk with Christ is to lie to yourself when you know something's missing and tell yourself everything's all right. And I have done it with the best of them. Knowing that down inside I'm cold and indifferent toward God. Don't tell me you ain't ever been there. You walk and serve the Lord long enough. Listen, things happen in life. And the truth of the matter is, Christ Jesus never leaves us. We always leave him. But I like what the old men of God like Lawton Bird and the old men of God like Junior Waddell and Ranch Kane. They said this over and over again. You'll find Jesus right where you left him. When anything takes precedence over your walk with God and over your relationship with Christ, your relationship with Christ will grow stale. And I'm talking to you from behind the pulpit, and I'm as stale as anybody in the house of God. But I've come this morning to proclaim before you, and most of all before God, I know there's something missing. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I want to press toward Him, because I know this: when I press toward Him, He'll certainly make His way toward me. Anybody like the old preacher? We lie to ourselves. Oh, I'm still all right, and we are, and oh, everything's okay. And down inside, we can recall a time when we walked with God and life was joyous and life was merry. And we'll go around this season and we'll wish every... And listen, people that are negative are the worst in the world. They'll go around and they'll wish you a Merry Christmas. But if you can look into their life, they're the biggest bah humbug. They don't have no joy. They're always on the negative side of things. I'm telling you, God created us to be light in a dark world. I throwed an Ebenezer Scrooge at him. They got a day's journey away, and they're looking, trying to figure out what's missing. Let me ask you this. Those of you that have served the church and been in the church a long time, have you ever come to the place where, if you're honest, you know as a church something's missing? Now, you know where that usually falls, don't you? If there's something missing, it's usually the preacher's fault. Y'all laughing, but I've been on the other side of that. See, it ain't our fault. It ain't that we hadn't prayed. It ain't that we're not seeking the Lord. That man don't have the touch of God anymore. And he's given up on us, and he's quit, and he's laid down. You know what? There have been a lot of men of God who've done that very thing. And I'm preaching to you as a man that's lying on the floor, reaching up to grab another breath, half dead, knowing this, that if I can get a hold of God, God can get a hold of me. But I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm not going to lie to you. And most of all, I'm not going to lie to God. He knows where I'm at. A day's journey. They begin to look around. Something's missing. Something's missing. And Mary screams out to the top of her voice, "We've left Jesus." With all the outside pressure, with all the outside influence, with all the trouble and the strife, and even in the joy of their celebration, they left Jesus behind. One day's journey. Listen, maybe this morning is the very same thing that they faced in their entourage. We've left Jesus behind. If that's you this morning, I want you to know this. It took them 3 days' journey to get back to Him. You know why? Because the enemy knew they were headed on their way back and had a desire to be with the Lord again and a desire to renew their relationship. And he threw all of it. Listen, it's not just happenstance whenever you decide to start coming to church that everything falls apart. I believe the wheels on their wagons begin to break. And they got discouraged and said, "No, now we've started on our way back. We got to go to where He's at. We're not going to let in." And they fixed and they worked and they labored. And finally, they made their way back to Jesus. Sometimes it seems like it's so simple to slide away, and it's so hard to make our way back. You ever felt that way? Come on now, be honest with me this morning. Listen, God is tired of Silver City being half dried up and dead. It's time that when we say Merry Christmas, it comes from our heart, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Finally found Him. Where'd they find Him? They found Him at the house of God. Do you know why it gives me such a great joy to see you here? Because this is a place, not talking about this sanctuary, that sanctuary, this gym, but to be together, that's a good place to find the Lord again and restore and be renewed in your relationship. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Anybody know it's good to be around happy people? Is it not? Hey, let me tell you something. And listen, there's nothing like people that care and people that are loving. You can have the worst day in the world. Listen, I love this. Whenever I was, you know, my kids were young, I'd have the worst day in the world and be in the worst mood you ever saw. Yeah, I could do that too. That ain't hard for y'all to believe, is it? I'd walk in the door and that little girl and that little boy of mine would grab a hold of my legs and say, Daddy, Daddy, it's good to have you home. Medicine for my soul. It felt good. I'm going to tell you, hey, when you've been out of church for a while, the worst thing in the world is for somebody to come up and make fun of you and aggravate you because you've not been there. You ought to have somebody come up, grab you around the neck and say, Brother, it's good to see you again. Merry heart does good like a man. Don't you like being around happy people? It's like a medicine for the soul. Look and see the hatred around us. Look and see the turmoil on the outside. Look and see what's going on in our nation and how men and women have turned against one another. And we're so divided. And listen, there's so much envy and hatred and strife. We need medicine. And so what is the medicine? The medicine is not a what. The medicine is a who. We need Jesus. Listen, hey, they're sitting out there. So many people are waiting for them to the doctors to come up with a solution. And now on the horizon, they say they've got something that will inoculate us from this virus. And everybody's waiting for that medicine because they believe whenever I'm injected with that medicine, COVID will no more be a risk. There are a lot of people that are just waiting on pins and needles for that medicine to come down the pipe. But I want to tell you this, there's a greater medicine for the soul of man, and man needs this more than they need inoculated from this virus. The medicine we need is the love of God, and ye are the dispensers of the medicine. What are you injecting into people's lives? I'm going to tell you something. Hey, if all I inject in my children's life is anger and bitterness, don't be surprised when they grow up and they're angry and they're bitter. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Every person you meet, you have the opportunity to change their day. Every person you meet, you have an opportunity to inject some kindness and some compassion and the love of God into their life. When will we stop seeing people as just a hindrance? Or when will I take my eyes off of myself and quit thinking it's all about me and realize out there are people who need just need a good shot of love, compassion, and mercy. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but it says, but a broken spirit dries to the bones. You know, that was what our lesson was on. I didn't have any idea what we would get into this morning. Coming into Sunday school, it's amazing how God ties all those things together. My greatest concern as a pastor is that there are people that sit in this congregation every week and they're broken and they're wounded and they need medicine and God sends it and you just won't take it. What good does it do to have the medicine that can make us whole and we reject it and say, I'm all right, I don't need it. In the quietness of this moment, I will confess to you from the deepest depths of my soul, I stand in need of that medicine. I still need Jesus. And there's nothing sadder than to see people come into the very hospital that God has supplied. The medicine's there ready to be rendered. And they turn around and walk out the same way they came in. And that broken spirit, it will kill you from the inside out. But there is a healer. There is one that took stripes on his back. And by his stripes, the Bible says, we are healed. Jesus is good, good medicine for the soul. And this morning, as you stand to your feet, get us a song. We can have that medicine. Let me ask you this. How long has it been since your walk with God has been vibrant? You know what Mary means? Go ahead. You're fine. You're fine, Roger Steve. Mary is more than just to be happy. Mary is to be merry and have merriment with rejoice. And how long has it been since you've truly rejoiced in the fact that God has saved your never-dying soul? How long has it been since you've rejoiced that God has blessed you with the blessings He's giving you? Are you too busy looking at all the things that are wrong to turn your eyes toward the Lord and see what He does is always right? This morning, if you need to pray and you need to seek Jesus, as they play this song, you come. Go ahead, Steve. God.